Imagine a library where books are sorted by color or shape or how they make you feel. This Wednesday, such a library will become available for free to anyone with a connection to the internet. It's being billed as the world's largest digital library for children. Every page of Alice in Wonderland and 200 other books has been scanned into the collection. Eventually, 10,000 texts from 100 cultures are planned. But for the project to be a success, kids will have to like reading from computer screens. The digital library was designed by researchers at the University of Maryland who have thought a lot about this problem. Some of them are 10 years old. NPR's David Kestenbaum reports.
Professor Allison Druin is older than 10, but they make kids' clothes big these days.
I'm wearing my cartoon character sweatshirt. Goofy, Mickey, Minnie, and Pluto.
Allison is seated on a lime green cube in her office. She believes that adults are lousy at knowing what kids want. That's why many of the people who work here are 8, 9, 10 years old. Some skeptics see Allison's lab as just an elaborate form of daycare, but she is serious about treating kids as equals. It takes patience and an open mind.
The important thing is that you always feed everybody as soon as they walk in the lab, so you always have snack first.
Today's snack is pretzels and juice. It's about 3:30 in the afternoon. School has just let out.
So, what are we going to do today?
Sesame. Oh!
We always spill something. But
you got it on your pretzels, too.
Things settle down a little. The kids make proposals for what to do, then vote. It's a little like being at a very inefficient corporate board meeting. The kids break up into groups. Some rate books for the library, 4 stars, 3 stars. Others test out the software they've been helping design.
My name is Carl White, and I have been working here for 1 year. This will be my second year here.
If Carl had a lightning bolt on his forehead, he would look just like Harry Potter. He peers through round glasses at a computer screen showing a chunky cartoon globe of the Earth.
You can turn the globe and you can click on the countries and you can see the books from that area.
The digital library project is costing over $5 million, and it's up against a tough reality. People seem to like reading books that are on paper. It's true the digital library will bring books to remote corners of the world and to homes where there aren't many books. But if it's poorly designed, kids may not want to use it.
Move it to my laundry.
The software the kids designed feels a little strange to an adult. It lets you search for all books that are make-believe, all books that are green, all books about animals. A little cartoon caterpillar helps out. That was a kid's idea of how to appeal to an international audience. Listen carefully.
Our original idea was a bookworm, except we thought, oh no, Americans kind of made that up. Well, they didn't make it up, except like they mainly live in old books and stuff here. And then our next idea was a bird. Ben had drawn a bird, and there was a caterpillar climbing up the tree that the bird was sitting on. And then we thought, oh, it could be a caterpillar. So right now it's a caterpillar.
Sitting at Carl's side is Ben Biederson, a big person, also a professor here, who is turning the kids' ideas into computer code. There is a 30-year gap between the two of them. Ben says working with kids is extremely hard to accept. But there is something wonderful about the mind of a kid unburdened with years of education and jargon. Once one of the kids encountered a computer bug, cryptic text came up on the screen, Ben immediately knew what it was.
A non-invertible transform exception.
One of the kids said something like, a non-inblabbable blurble? Carl said, did you say gerbil? And it stuck.
Everyone just started calling them gerbils.
Now all computer bugs are called gerbils. This project probably would have gone faster had it been designed by adults. Ben says he sometimes thinks about that.
Well, Alice and I always have these debates, you know, partly because, you know, we're a team and we tend to be antagonistic to each other for fun. And because she pushes these kids so hard, it's sort of my nature then to say, well, do we really need these kids?
This is probably a good spot to point out that Ben and Allison are married. Ben says it's taken him a while to learn to really treat the kids as colleagues, and he doesn't manage it all the time.
I finally came to understand its value about a year ago when a particular event happened to me personally.
Ben sat down on the floor with a bunch of kids. They were trying to figure out how to classify stories about people who had survived the Holocaust. It came out through a long conversation that the kids didn't see them as stories about death or war, but stories about people who were like them, who were kids when it happened. Ben left with a whole new set of ideas.
Some of which I think were really good and were much, much better ones than we started with. Were those ideas my ideas or the kids' ideas? Right. They would not have happened if I wasn't working with the kids.
So you're a believer now.
I'm a believer. It's difficult, but I'm a believer.
At the count of three, run to my office and back. One, two, three.
Allison has a pretty good idea of what kids need, but she knows she can never really think like them. A parent once said that talking to his kid was like talking to a space alien who had read a lot about human society but had never actually visited. This is one reason Allison's team decided to throw scholarship to the wind and let the kids pick the books for the library. This would seem a little risky, since some kids left on their own would just read comic books. The Library of Congress. They were quiet because it's a library. Children, adults, and librarians sat in a circle.
All right, first of all, my name's Allison. You all know me, okay? I'm 38. No, what? How old am I, Ben? 38? 36?
On rolling carts, the librarians have piled up old and rare children's books, ones where copyright restrictions will not be a problem. Privately, a librarian said she has picked stories she thinks kids should read, even if they don't want to. That is a no-no in Allison's book. The kids have final say. They have drawn up checklists of things they want, fairy tales, books on history, and things they do not want.
Things that we think are insensitive to different cultures, things that are hard to read, things that might be boring, and other things we're not so sure, but they would fit in other.
You'll know it when you see it.
The kids break up into groups. A librarian named Mark Diminution from the rare books section kneels in front of two kids. Mark is wearing a nice suit, smells faintly of cigarettes, and handles books with grace and care, as if they were works of art. Some of them are. This book is a famous one called Seven Little Women from 1908. It begins, seven little women doing juggling tricks. One wasn't quick enough, then there were just six. One picture shows a girl getting stung by a bee. A crab bites another one.
This alludes to a famous German book called Strudelpeter, Slovenly Peter, which is a book that was written to teach children to behave themselves and to wash their face and to eat when they're told to. And the things that happen to the children that don't are dire.
The kids seem to like it. Then I do something I later regret. I ask a question.
Are all these kids dying in this book?
No.
She got a plate fell on her head.
They're getting hurt.
What happened to her?
Her arm.
Yeah, I guess they are.
Well, every single page, someone's getting hurt.
And because of this one comment, the book gets axed. One of only three or four that day that don't make the cut. Which makes you wonder, when working with kids, how much are they simply picking up things from adults? Was the bookworm idea dropped because an adult thought it was too American? And the idea that all books have to be sensitive to other cultures, was that really a kid's idea? Or some nice notion inserted by an adult? Back at the University of Maryland on another day, I tried to find out.
Hey, Jade, come here. So one second. Yeah. Do you remember when you guys were picking the books, and one of the questions was, is the book offensive to other cultures? Was that a kid's idea or an adult's idea?
A kid's.
Do you remember whose idea it was?
I think it was mine. I'm not sure. But it was, I know it was a kid.
Okay, thanks.
Bye!
Allison says it's okay if adults influence kids. This is supposed to be a collaboration.
In education, there's theories about how people grow and develop, okay? And one of them is that in collaborative experiences, people can be much more than who they could be by themselves.
The big test of all this will be whether kids use the digital library. Ben Biederson has some data on this. It comes from a kid, his and Allison's daughter, Dana. The other morning, Ben and Dana were reading a book called Axel the Freeway Cat on a test version of the software.
Then that night, I was putting her to bed. She says, "Can you read me Axel? I really want to see that cat eating breakfast in the car." And I said, "Well, sweetheart, I'm sorry, but that's only on the computer and we're up here." She said, "But I really want to read Axel the Freeway Cat." I said, "Well, do you want me to bring up my laptop?" "Yes, Daddy." And we read Axel the Freeway Cat from start to finish, and she had me keep on going back and we'd look at the picture of the cat, and it was great. So then the next night, of course, I was all excited and I brought up my computer. And then she said, Daddy, I want to read a real book, please. And I said, oh.
As always, understanding what a kid means is a little tough here. Ben thinks his daughter just wanted to read a different book, one they happen to have on the shelf. Kids, of course, would argue that adults can be a little opaque as well. Carl, who is 8, says he thinks this whole project could have gone a little faster if the adults would stop overanalyzing things. David Kestenbaum, NPR News, Washington.
For more on the Children's Digital Library, check out our website, npr.org.